Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Alrighty, folks, what is going on in the stock market? The stock market had its first losing week in a little while. I think it was down 2% or so. What's going on with tech? We, of course, turn to the one and only Mr. Dan Bird, who has been right for a long, long time. How you doing, sir?
I should have worn my t-shirt today.
Yeah, you've got a couple of them. You earning one nailed it shirt was not enough for you. We had to get you two. You have been right for a long, long time. So the audience wants to know. What's going on?
So for those that tuned into my training session last week, because you and I didn't talk last week, but I did a separate one. Yeah. Interestingly, that one didn't get as many hits as the ones where we say the market's crashing.
Shocking. I'm one telling you, when you create your channel, Dan, one of the unfortunate things are is the headline has to be negative, but you can say whatever you want in the video. You got to get them to click first.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Education, people don't really care about, but the market's crashing, they do. But, one of the things I said is the whole thing about trading and really being in the market, it's not about being right. In fact, that's the worst thing, trying to be right. It's about the best loser wins.
Yes.
So you have to learn how to lose. You have to accept losing.
Yep.
And once you can get that mentally in your head, then you're one step closer to succeeding.
I agree. Well, last week was a losing week. What did you see?
Losing week, but we had a good Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Friday turnaround in the afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't come back. It didn't recover the losses from Thursday.
No, Thursday was ugly.
Still, it was a bad, not bad, but not a great looking chart as a result. So I think we are in a phase right now where the market needs to consolidate.
Okay.
Made a huge run. I'll show you something in a second. Made a big run that needs to probably go sideways for a while. Down, sideways, not a crash, but
chop. I think what you're talking is chop.
Yeah, it's going to chop for a while, probably till after the election, frankly.
Oh, that long. So we're talking months, formally chop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Could be months. It'd be up and down. So for a trader, there'll be opportunities for an investor or for a beginner. You have to be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Okay.
So for an investor, you probably already have your stock. So just hang on. Don't do anything. If you're looking to do an entry, then pick them wisely. For a trader, you can go either way, up and down.
Right. So. Okay. All right. Well, let us know what were you looking at last week as you looked at your charts for the setup for next week. What caught your attention, Dan?
All right, let me share my screen and we'll take a look at some stuff. For those that are interested, my website has a free newsletter that I put out every weekend when I can. So this one I put a lot of stuff in this one. There's actually more I could have put in, but I'll save that for next time. I'll actually start with that. So you just click there and there's some cartoons.
Goldilocks sent us. Oh, that was a good one. That one made me chuckle when I saw it.
Goldilocks might never leave.
Yep.
So I like this one.
You are here.
Between inflation and recession.
Yep.
That's kind of accurate too.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Probably is where we are right now. So here's the calendar.
Make that a little bigger. Sorry, I got old eyes. There we go.
Okay, last week was actually, in general, pretty good.
Yeah.
The non-farm payrolls, of course, came in much higher than expected, as they do every month.
Yeah.
And then they get revised down.
Yep.
Interesting during an election year that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Unemployment rate went down. That was interesting.
Yeah, the more important one is the unemployment rate.
I agree.
That went down a little bit And in general, I mean, that just reinforces the Goldilocks economy.
Higher for longer.
Higher for longer, low unemployment, good GDP. GDP actually ticked up last week.
Yeah, 3.2 or something. Yeah, over 3%. Right. Yeah.
So market's just humming along, doing pretty well.
Okay.
Next week, we'll talk about CPI in the next session, because I have a lot to talk about on that one.
All right. I look forward to it.
The forecast right now, this always can change between now and Wednesday when it comes out, but right now, as of Saturday, it's 3.4. So we went up from 3.1 to 3.2, and then this one up to 3.4.
Yeah,
so,
we got a trend for me. That's what you could call that, a trend.
Yeah, that's 2 months in a row. Exactly. Yeah. So here's the chart that was in my, this is from my newsletter, by the way. This is the chart for unemployment. So the SOM rule basically says recessions start when the 3 month moving average, which is the red line over here.
Right. Yeah.
Rises by more than half a point, 0.5 points above the 12 month, which is the green line.
Right.
Right. So it is above the green line, but it's not 0.5 above the green.
Yeah, it's funny that the SOM rule is actually pointing at 4.2. People on my channel know that 4.2 has always been the number I sense the problem.
Yeah.
I said, that's the number to watch. And right now, we're not close, frankly.
We're not close, but it is trending higher.
True.
I mean, even if we get the same number next month, and I said this in the newsletter, even if we get the same number, if we get 3.9 again, it would tick higher. We got 3.8 and it still ticked higher.
Yeah, that's just how math works. The 12-month
rolling average. That's how the math works, right?
Yeah.
So this was 3.68 last month, and this target was 4.18.
Yeah, so I stand by the 4.2. The 4.2 is the number to watch.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the SOM rule, though, is if it needs to go higher really fast.
Correct.
For 4.2 to hold, because if it goes up slowly. Then this 4.2 is
then the average will go up. Exactly.
Yeah, the average is going to go up. So this will go up to 4 or 5 maybe. So, but normally that's what happens whenever the unemployment rate starts to tick up quickly. Yeah, you can see it
breaks quickly.
It accelerates very fast, and the Fed knows that, and that's why I've said for a few months now that I don't think the rate cuts will start until unemployment starts ticking higher. That's what they're looking at.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in the second session. This is CPI. We'll wait on that one. Okay. This one is an interesting chart. This is actually right on my website, and you don't need a subscription for this. It's right here, this little button, current secular bull market. So you can click there to see where we are. So this is from 2009, the secular bear. Once we broke out of this high from 2007, that's when officially the secular bull market began, even though you could start counting it from the 2009 low, but officially it was when it broke out of the previous high.
Okay.
All right. So that's right there, but it's been in this channel this whole time, I mean, I can't say COVID because COVID actually marked the bottom of the channel. So if you drew the line from the low in 2009 to the bottom of COVID, that's what created this bottom line.
Okay.
And then if you drag that exact line up to close to where the tops meet up here.
Yep.
Yeah, 21, it broke above it. So it went to an extreme up here.
Yep.
So naturally, whenever the market gets to an extreme, it needs to pull back, which, you know, we're getting close to that upper channel line again.
Okay.
But this is a weekly chart. So, I mean, this could take a few months to get back up here. This could take till the end of the year to get back to the top of that line.
Okay.
So, but it's interesting. And these momentum indicators down here, I mean, none of this, and I put it in the newsletter, none of this right now implies that there is a serious correction or a crash or anything else coming. Everything, according to this chart, is still very bullish, and the market wants to go higher.
Okay.
Now, that could change. But right now, that's what it says.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let's see. And then this one here is the January barometer that we started tracking in January.
Yep.
And I covered this, and people can go back and watch the video if you want to see it. But basically, these are the three components: the Santa rally, which was negative, the first 5 days of January, which was negative, and the full month, which was positive. And whenever mm-hmm. it's positive, most of the time, it ends higher.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when it's positive, over the last 75 years, there has been zero times when it's dropped by 20%.
Okay.
And there has only been 1 year that it's dropped by more than 10%.
Okay.
In fact, the majority of the years, it's higher. So I left this chart on the website even beyond January just to keep tracking it through the sure. year. And we're continuing to, you know, have a very nice, healthy run upwards. Keeps coming back to the 21-day. It's right at the 21-day again. So this is the real test. The next week or so, we'll see, will this continue? Will the trend continue higher, or will it finally break down?
Hmm.
Here's the weekly performance. So all the big caps now are starting to kind of give back some of their gains.
Right.
Small caps were starting to rally. But right now, if we look at the sector performance, this is for the week.
It's very conservative.
All of the aggressive sectors are at the bottom, underperforming yep. the S&P.
Yep.
All four of them, including the NASDAQ 100. And the ones at the top, especially utilities, which is the most conservative,
mm-hmm.
most defensive, is at the top. Energy's been having a great run, but all of these are defensive sectors.
Yep. Okay.
So that, again, that's for the week. So all of this is kind of subtle. There's the rotation graph. And look at energy.
I was going to say, yeah, that stood out from weakening to the leading.
Yeah. It started going down, but all of a sudden just didn't even make the cycle.
Yeah, just ripped
through the other quadrants and said, "Ah, screw this, I'm going back.
I
don't like it down here. I'm going back to leading."
That's funny.
And then you can see the aggressive sectors, XLC, mm-hmm. XLK, technology over here. XLY, look at that. That's discretionary. It's just dropping like a rock.
Like a stone, yeah.
Well, okay. This one is made up, 40% of this is made up of Tesla and Amazon.
Yeah,
we'll look at those charts in a second. So this is from Stock Traders Almanac. This is the month of April. We are right here. CPI report comes out Wednesday. We'll talk about that in the next session. And you can see the dashed lines are election years. The solid lines are all years. So during election years, we sometimes get a little sell-off, but not always. But this is just going back for election years, going back to 1950. So that's 75 years worth of data. That's what it looks like. And you can see the Fed meeting is coming at the end of the month.
Yep. You have any thoughts? Fed rate cut in May 1st. You see it?
No
chance. Zero. Zero.
No chance. No chance.
Zero.
Especially after we talk about this.
Yeah. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. There's no chance in May. In fact, I'm kind of moving back on my June.
Yeah. It just can't be June anymore. Can't be June. It's got to be July.
I think it's actually going to be. I actually talked about that in my newsletter. It could be later than July.
Well, tell me how this feels to you. I think if they don't do July, they can't do September. So they're going to have to wait till November or December.
So there's a meeting on May 1st, and then the next meeting, I think, is mid-June, right?
Actually, if you give me a chance to find my notes, I will tell you exactly.
And I think the next one is in August, isn't it?
So right now, actually, I talked about this on the Daily Financial News. April 30th, May 1st, June 11th, June 12th.
Right.
July 30th, 31st.
Okay, that's right at the end, almost August. Right.
Yeah, then September 17th, 18th, and then November 6th and 7th. It is my opinion, May is gone, no cut.
Yeah.
June is now gone, no cut.
Yeah.
July,
yeah.
maybe the 1st. Yeah. But if they don't, if they pass on July, it is my belief, Dan, they will not cut in September. It'll be too close to the election.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Although, you know, why not? There's no reason not to cut close to the election. In fact, there's probably a reason to cut close to the election.
They everything I've read about the Fed, and I've studied them for 40 years, unless something is drastically breaking, they would rather not cut in September and do a half in November than cut in September.
Right. Okay. So do you think then if they cut in July, end of July, let's call it August, beginning of August?
They could cut in September because it started early. Yes. If they cut in July, I could see a September cut. I want to be clear. They will not make the first rate cut September.
I gotcha. So what do you think the first rate cut will be? Let's say they do it the end of July, beginning of August.
I could see July.
Yep. What do you think August. It will be? A quarter or
half? It'll only ever be a quarter. It'll be a quarter.
Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about tinkering at this point.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I'd say July. In my newsletter, I said late Q3, just before the election. So that's early Q. That's mid Q3, actually.
Yeah.
So let's think about this for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's say my thesis is accurate, that they are really going to wait for the unemployment rate more so than the inflation.
Correct.
And so the question then is, how fast will this tick higher if it does? So we actually went down this month.
We did.
So, you know, what would this take by, so if they cut July, let's see, I don't know what, that's going to be, so that will be a full month after the July report.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You'll be about a week away from the August report.
Right. That's right. But theoretically, they won't know what that is.
Sure.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
So we've got a May report, a June report, and a July report. So we've got three reports before that meeting.
I can't see us going from 3.8 to 4.2 in the next 3 months.
But if we did, they will
definitely cut. No question.
Yeah. So this to me is the key right here. This is the one to watch.
How about let's have this conversation, and maybe if you want to save this for the next video, by all means. But finally, we have a Fed president saying what I hope they would have said in the dot plot. Michelle Bowman said, and I quote, "Another rate hike could be needed if inflation stays high." Do you think there's any chance rates go up from here?
Yes, I've been saying that. You asked me probably a month ago. In fact, the way you phrased it was, do you think there's a greater than zero chance that they'll have another rate hike? And I said, yes, there is a greater than zero chance.
Okay.
I mean, it might not be a very big chance.
It's non-zero.
But it's not zero. I've been saying that for a while.
And I think that was what hit the market on Fridays, is at least on the rates. If you look at mortgage rates or 10-year on Friday, did the 10-year have a nasty run last week? Man.
Yeah. Let's look at that, actually.
And now while you pull that up, the thing that I want to be clear on is I've been begging one or two Fed presidents to have the cojones to say we need another rate hike. Michelle's first. Good for her. We need another one. Now, I don't think they do go higher. I just want them to threaten to go higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we get the unemployment rate staying level, mm-hmm. 3.8, 3.9, so anything under 4.
Sub 4, yep.
Sub 4. And we continue to get hot inflation numbers.
Oh, they're going higher.
Which I think we will next week. Then I think they will go higher. And I've been saying that for a while. I think they will. I think they could do another quarter point. 25. I mean, they could come in and do a tenth of a point.
Yeah, they're only
going to do quarters. There's nothing saying it has to be a quarter.
Correct.
Right. But if you look at the 10-year right here, you know, we've been trading between this channel.
Yeah, could you look at just the last 5 business days? Because I mean, that'll really just show the.
Yeah, in fact.
Monday ripped, Tuesday ripped.
I think I have a 10-minute chart. So there's the last five days.
Yeah, just higher, higher, higher. Yeah. But, I guess Thursday was down.
Yeah, but if you look at it, you know, it's one thing to say it ripped higher. Mm-hmm. And if you look at these are 10-minute bars, remember.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you look at this 10 minutes right here on Friday, you could say it ripped higher. If you look at the first hour and a half on Wednesday, mm-hmm. you could say it ripped higher. If you look at the first 30 minutes on April 2nd, mm-hmm. you could say it ripped higher. But if you look at the whole thing overall.
Yeah, what did it do for the week? Like starting from the Monday low to the Friday close.
So this is Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. This is the full week.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. So it started at the low Monday, came in hot for the first couple hours.
Yeah.
But where did it end for the week? So I don't know the
over here. 43.8 from 42.4. So 1.4.
Okay, basically. Got it. Now I see it. Okay. Okay.
All right. So yes, it went higher, but did it rip higher? I would say no, didn't rip higher.
Okay.
If we look at 10 days, now that looks like ripping.
Yeah, Monday right? Caught a lot of people by surprise.
So if we look at this week versus last week, yeah, there was a pretty big increase there. But again, if we look at where it had been trading in this channel, mm-hmm. and it really had been respecting that pretty well, just a little above 4.3.
Right.
It went higher. So this is this whole area right here. Let me see if I can do something here. This area right in here was last week.
Yeah, that little 4 or 5. Right. Yep. Yep.
Right. And this was 3 weeks ago.
Got it.
So it had a big decline before it ripped higher.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So I would not say that this is alarming yet.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's just a normal movement within its channel.
Yeah, what was really interesting for folks that are in the real estate industry is mortgage rates did not go up by the same ratio. We're actually seeing the compression between mortgage rates and the 10-year bond, right? They were trading as high as 300 basis points. They're now down to like 275 or 277, something like that.
There they are. That's the 10-year yield.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So there's the 30-year and the 10-year together.
Nice.
This is over 33 years too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's
one thing.
Usually
one thing,
it's 180 basis points.
Right. So right now it's 625 to 682.
Yeah. Okay.
So 60 basis points.
Okay. Very cool.
And by the way, this is a 33-year chart. So the thing hopefully that jumps out at people is mortgage rates are normal.
So I guess I might be confused. The purple or whatever that color is, pink, that's pink. The 10-year?
That's the 10-year.
I thought the 10-year was 5.3. You're having here
at 6.3? This is based on a 30-year mortgage. That's what the overall chart is. So the dark line, the blue one.
Yeah, I got that. Yep, yep.
And that's what these 6 to 7.7, that's what that represents.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong scale. Got it.
Yeah, the 10-year is on the left-hand side. Over here.
I'm sorry.
If I actually do this easily. So the 10-year is right about here. 30-year is
there.
Right,
we
about
go.
There.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Okay. So now over here, 3.75, roughly little above 3.5.
All right. Okay. I got you now.
So that's the spread right there right now. They're tracking together fairly well, but you can see that the 30-year has really pulled away from the 10-year, mm-hmm. which happened over here during the recession.
Got it.
But usually the 30-year is below the 10-year, slightly. So what does that imply? That implies that either the 10-year is going to go higher or the 30-year is going to go lower.
Right. Okay. Got it. Very, very cool.
This is on the website, by the way, right here under economic charts. Mm-hmm. 33-year mortgage rates right there.
Got it. Cool.
And I haven't looked at this one, but this is industrial production. So 33-year industrial production is hanging in there.
Yep.
Here's the Fed rates, higher for longer. 12-month rate of change, kind of flat.
Yep.
Quarterly GDP, kind of flat. The S&P is going up. So, I mean, this is a Goldilocks economy right now.
Right.
Everything is normalized. Mortgage rates are normalized. 10-year treasury is normalized. The Fed rate is normalized. You can actually look at the Fed rate. there's the Fed rate with their hikes and cuts. Mm-hmm. So the Fed rate is right now is this dark line right here. We're right here, just about where it was in 2006, mm-hmm. just about where it was through the 90s.
Right.
It was lower in the beginning of the 90s and a little higher at the end of the 90s. But on average, we are right about where it was in the 90s.
Yep.
Everything about this economy right now is normal.
Interesting.
So what does that mean? Well, that means the Fed now has the flexibility if something happens.
Yeah.
They've raised rates enough that they can cut.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
When rates were down here, if something more had happened beyond COVID or beyond the financial crisis.
Yeah, where are they going to go?
Financial crisis happened here when rates were way up here.
Yep.
They had a little lower actually than where they are right now, but they had the ability to cut them all the way to zero to try to, you know, help the economy. Mm-hmm. If they had stayed down here, especially during this period, we would have been screwed.
That would have been messy. Yeah. It'd have been years.
So it is actually a healthy thing for everything that I'm looking at. It's a very healthy, normal economy right now.
Very cool. Well, Dan, you've got a lot in your newsletter. Could you share your newsletter? Because I want to get to talking about CPI in our second video.
Okay, sure. See what else. If there's anything else in here that was interesting. That one, we talked about that. This one, the election year. This is also from Stock Traders Almanac. The red line here are election years during the top Q1s. So that basically is this chart here. So they took the top Q1s and they divided by three. And the ones in the top are the top ones. We mm-hmm. came in at 10.2%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are the third best Q1 in 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it puts us up here in this third, basically. So this red line represents that third, you know, years where it was the best Q1.
Yep.
The pink line here is what we're doing right now.
Actuals,
and we have been tracking that red line almost exactly. We got a little ahead of it in March, and now we're pulling back to it. Mm. All right. So this is what I meant by the chop for the rest of the year.
Right.
Until the election.
Okay.
So I think we're going to have a decline or a sideways movement, which is going to be healthy. We'll have, you know, for traders, it's going to be up and down. That's what I meant in the beginning of this session.
Cool.
All right.
Very cool.
All this is from my newsletter, so it's free for those that want it. Just go to breakpointtrading.net. It's on the homepage right here. Along with this is the bull market, and there's also, you know, earnings coming up next week. So there's a little button there that you can see
what
earnings are coming. If we look at the S&P 100, there's JP Morgan on the 12th, Citigroup on the 12th, BlackRock on the 12th.
Yeah, Friday. Friday's a big day.
Yep. Coming. Yep. the banks coming next week. So you can you know, filter this by NASDAQ 100 if you want to. So there's the NASDAQ stock. There's Netflix is coming on the 18th. It tells you whether it's before or after the close.
Very cool.
Right? So that's right here in the upper right corner.
I will be using that every weekend. I'm trying to figure out who's reporting next week. I will come here instead of scouring Twitter.
It's a real easy way to filter to see what earnings are coming, and it shows you. You can look at past earnings as well. Mm. You know, when you click on that, you can say upcoming earnings, and then you can filter it by all these different stocks, or you can say earnings that have already been reported.
Very nice.
And you can filter it by, you know, NASDAQ 100. So Paychex reported last week, and nice. it shows you, you know, estimated earnings was 495. They reported 498. Earnings were flat.
A match. Yep.
Right. Match. So, you know, you can look at earnings that have just been reported. This is a good way for traders, by the way, if they see a stock that has beat earnings and revenue and the stock falls the day of earnings, that means you've got a strong company that is just pulling back and it might be an opportunity to get in lower.
There you go.
But this is one way to use this website to be able to do things like that. And there's no subscription for this part.
Yep.
These are all on the homepage.
Very, very cool. Well, Dan, thank you very much. I look forward to talking about CPI, inflation, and a new trend. Take care.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
Oh, I need to hit...